Judges chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. If you go there to verse 21, Judges chapter 1. The Bible says, And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Now if you'd go to 2 Samuel 5 verse 6. 2 Samuel 5 verse 6. The Bible says, And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. Thinking. Somebody shout thinking. David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward and David went on and grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. Now go with me to Psalm 48 verse 2. Psalm 48 verse 2. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now go with me to the book of Matthew 21. Going to read one verse here, verse 14. Matthew 21. Verse 14, the Bible says, And the blind and the lame came to the Lord Jesus in the temple, and He healed them. Isn't that wonderful? He healed them. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me do so, going up through the gutter. Going up through the gutter. Would you help me pray? Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to gather here. I understand, Lord, it is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, oh God, that You'd have Your way in this house, this convention. God, we start off tonight pressing in, Lord. We understand, God, there's so many battles, so many things of life that are against us. And I understand by the Word of God, if God be for us, who can be against us? I pray, oh God, that You would just come in glory tonight. Come in power, in salvation. God, raise up Your people tonight. In the name of the Lord, let us start this convention off, God, with just great advancement in every way. We love You. We give You all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God, forever. Thank You, Jesus. Have Your way, Lord. We ask this in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. And God's people shouted, Amen. You may be seated. Going up through the gutter. We understand as the people of God that the Christian life is marked by warfare, battle, and fights. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We know that even the Lord Jesus Himself said to us that He would not refrain from a needed fight. Revelation chapter 2 verse 16 says, Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. We understand tonight that the sword of His mouth is the Word of God. Amen. Here tonight, if you are a child of God, we all know that you will be in a fight, and the greatest weapon that is in your arsenal is the Word of God. Amen. We live in a generation of the church that tries to minimize the Word of God. How many people do we hear in pulpits around the world and even on television stations that try to minimize the Word of God? But I understand as a preacher of this gospel that it is the Word of God that will endure forever. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will abide forever. John Gill once said, it is observable that Christ does not say, I will fight against thee, the true members of His mystical body, though lax, for Christ does not fight against His people, but for them. But He does say, I will fight against them, the Balaamites and the Nicolaitans, for their idolatry and their uncleanness. Amen. I want you to know tonight that it is biblical, it is right, and it is eternally good to fight against the false doctrine that finds itself in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we find the great precedence of the Word of God that even the Lord Himself said, I'm not gonna just sit back, I'm not just gonna let it be, but I will stand, I will fight with the Word of God against all that is false. Amen. And I understand tonight that you may be here and you may say, Pastor Robin, I'm in a fight of my life. And everything about you may say, you just need to let bygones be bygones. You just need to let that remain. But when it comes to the doctrine of the Balaamites and the Nicolaitans, I say to you, pick up the eternal Word of God and you fight the good fight of faith. You say to every devil, everyone that would carry the false doctrine, I'm going to stand for the Word of God. In these end times when darkness seems to abound, I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to move for God. Come on somebody. I'm going to do for God in these last days. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You see, all of this simply points to the fact that the Christian life is a life of warfare. It is a life of spiritual progression, moving forward, and spiritual advancement through combat. Knowing this, one of the saddest things to observe is when a believer or a church has been in this fight of advancement only to not capitalize, take advantage of, or profit from all of their fighting. Can you say amen? Here in our text, it says in Judges 1:8, now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it, shout with me, taken it, and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. Now in this singular verse, we find four things. We find the children of Judah engaged in the Christian fight. We find the children of Judah that they took the city of Jerusalem. We find the children of Judah did so with the edge of the sword, and that the children of Judah set the city on fire. Considering this in New Testament terms, the children of Judah gave themselves to fighting the good fight of faith. The children of Judah took back what was a part of their spiritual promise. The children of Judah used the Word of God as their weapon. And the children of Judah did all of this in Pentecostal power. We understand that this whole experience was an uphill climb. Psalm 122:3 says, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up. Geography tells us that Jerusalem was built on an elevated position in order to fight against it, take it, and set it on fire, the people of God would have had to climb up to do it. Amen. When we consider tonight all of the prayers, all of the fastings, all of the worship, and all of the spiritual energies that would have had to be applied to experience this victory over the Jebusites, amen, we can understand tonight that this did not come with ease, amen. It came out of great spiritual warfare. And I understand tonight that the church of the living God has applied all of these to gain great victories for God. We've ascended the great hill towards Jerusalem. We've done all of it in Pentecostal power. Can you say amen? I mean, I look back across all of the Pentecostal experiences that have gone on. I know even in my own life, and I've said, Lord, in conventions like this, I moved forward. I sought God. I did, you know, all that had to be done. And I did it in Pentecostal power. But friend, it is not enough to gain the victory only to not occupy the victory that you've won. I've seen a lot of people, they've done as Judah did. I mean, they got touched of God. They said, Lord, you're moving in my life. I've talked to this pastor, and there's people that should be here tonight. They're not here. You say, why? It's not because they didn't use the word of God to experience the victory of God. It's not because they didn't do it all in a Pentecostal power, but they never came to occupy the victories that God gave them. I can assure you tonight, it's the will of God for each and every one of us not to just fight. It's wonderful that you fight, but you've got to move in, Sister Sharon. You've got to occupy Jerusalem if you're going to see all that God desires for you to see. I say to Pottsville all the time, I don't want us to simply celebrate what God does on a Sunday morning and say, my God, what fire. What a Pentecostal experience. We've got to move into it on a Monday, on a Tuesday. Oh, come on, somebody. We've got to move in and experience the glory of God Almighty. Give Him praise tonight. Amen. You're sitting here this evening. You say, Pastor Robin, I've experienced a lot of power, haven't you? How many of you in this room can testify to God has moved in your life in power? You've come out of great wickedness. You've seen God do wonderful, wonderful things, but you must move in and occupy. You see, but though this be the case, we understand that the children of Judah, they did all of this, but they did not drive out the Jebusite from Jerusalem, and neither did they occupy Jerusalem. Judges 1:21 says, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. I mean, what a great mockery. What a great hindrance to the progress of God. Here we find the children of Benjamin, they had no problem co-inhabiting with all that was wicked. Amen. I can tell you, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And you and I cannot walk hand in hand with the Jebusites whenever God has called us to walk hand in hand with Him. Can you say amen? Amen. This all brings us tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. Here they are, all these years later. The inhabitants, let me just throw this in there. You don't kick them out, they'll kick you out. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. The inhabitants of the land which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. He shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Now in these verses, we find four things. The first is, the greatest stronghold in a life and church, more times than not, possesses the most mocking, jeering, and discouraging disposition. Isn't that right? We understand in this Christian life that ridicule, jeering, scoffing, sneering, and mockery is simply a part of the experience. Isn't that right? It says of Christ in Luke 22, verse 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And in Mark 15, 29, and they, I want you to know something here. This is all transpiring in Jerusalem. Listen to me. And in Mark 15, 29, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, oh, that thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking. Isn't that right? The chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend from now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Now we understand that the same mockery that Christ faced in Jerusalem is the same mockery that David faced in his Jerusalem. It was a mockery that said, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. I mean, what a statement of utter mockery and utter ridicule. Amen. I believe tonight in this place, my heart has been grieved and burdened. For I know that many of you have heard that same mockery tonight. You see, the devil has no problem with you and I gaining Capernaum. He has no desire, you know, all of that is all outliers. Amen. But when it comes to Jerusalem, when it comes to Zion, when it comes to that new Jerusalem that God has prepared, amen, I can assure you, in all of that, the devil has great, great tenacity in fighting and mockery in trying to get you to throw in the towel. Here tonight, I'm not headed to Bethsaida. I'm not headed to Capernaum. Come on, somebody. I'm headed to Jerusalem. I want you to know I'm not satisfied with just some outliers out there and seeing God do, you know, just drips there. I'm headed to Jerusalem. My heart says, Lord, I'm ascending that hill to Mount Zion. Amen. At New Jerusalem. I want you to know, if you face the mockery that Jesus faced, you're in good company. Amen. I said, you're on the right track. You're headed to the right place. Rejoice in your God. He's called you to a marvelous place in God. Give Him praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Amen. You see, I've met a lot of people, the enemy of their soul and everything that occupies Jerusalem currently. I want you to note this. The Bible lets us know that the emphasis was placed on the blind and the lame. The Jebusites said, Pastor Keith, they will keep you away. I want you to think about this. Jesus said, the Pharisees are the blind leading the blind. The greatest hindrance to you and I reaching that celestial city and seeing God do all that He desires desires to do in His church amongst His people, I can tell you it's the blind leading the blind. It's the lame that don't walk with God. That's all of it. Amen. You see, Jesus, there's two miracles that it says that He did specifically in John chapter 5. He healed the man at God. I said He healed the lame man at the pool. And the other miracle was John chapter 9 when He healed the blind man in Jerusalem. Two miracles. Jesus touched the lame and the blind. Then it says in Matthew 21:14, we read it, that He healed all the blind and the lame that they brought to Him in the temple. I want you to know I'm not scared of the blind and the lame. I don't look at them as somebody that'll keep me out of Jerusalem. I've just got to meet them with the power of the risen Christ, knowing that God will take care of the blind and the lame.
Amen. That's good.
Oh, we look out there. We say, Brother Soph, look at all the false that's out there. Oh, I'm encountering so much false and so much blindness and hypocrisy and everything else. I can tell you, friend, I'm not afraid of any of it, for I know greater. Somebody shout greater.
Amen.
Greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. If you think you can repel me with your blindness and your lameness, I've got good gospel news. I serve a God that knows how to heal spiritual blindness. He can take the Catholic man out there at the Catholic church and fill him with salvation and the Holy Ghost of God. The blind can be the greatest helper in your walk with God. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. We must fully be aware of the fact that the enemy has many thoughts in what it desires to repel us from taking Jerusalem. I want you to hear me tonight. Scripture says thinking. Shout with me, thinking.
Thinking.
David cannot come in hither. That's like a lot of your cities. That's like Limerick. That's like the Catholic Church. Oh, you're not. Come on, shout with me now. You see, it would be much easier if the enemy was simply bluffing. However, this is not the case. The enemy of our souls is not bluffing, but actually believes what it says to be true. Pastor Robert, it believes it, doesn't it? We fought some of them devils before. They believe it. This is why the believer cannot allow the thoughts of the Jebusites to become their thoughts. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every, somebody shout every, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, in the Jebusites, we find a stronghold, an imagination, a high thing, and an unbiblical thought before David. To pull Jerusalem down, he had to first pull down the conveyance of thought that they projected to him. Amen. I can assure you, that devil's got a lot of thoughts. That religious crowd, they've got a lot of thoughts. They think a lot of things. God thinks thoughts towards us, but so does your enemy. Amen. They can think a lot of things. And the great trial and the great difficulty of our day is, which thought are you going to believe? If you believe the thinking of the Jebusite, you'll turn in that credential. You'll turn in that Bible. You'll come on, somebody. I say it'll never happen with me. But I want to assure you that the devil is a liar. I want you to know in this convention, you're more than an overcomer. Because whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And you're going to make it. You're going to walk with God. You're going to see revival. Hallelujah! You say, Pastor Robin, it don't much look like that. Well, you're thinking the wrong thoughts. I've witnessed to my family. I've witnessed on the streets of my city. Yeah. I've called people. I've social media. I can assure you, if I would have given in to all of that thinking, I'd have quit a long time ago. But I learned in this great walk with God, it's God's business in relation to souls. It's my business in relation to obedience. By the grace of God, you'll find me in a pulpit. You'll find me on a street corner. You'll find me on a social media. Come on, somebody. I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to keep talking about it. I'm going to keep rejoicing in the God of my salvation. Well, Pastor Robin, what if they go back? What if they're a Demas and they forsake you? Well, pal, I'm going to keep climbing. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep marching. I'm going to keep walking with God. Hallelujah. There's an eternal home I'm after tonight. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Glory. The pulpit commentary states, courage built on faith has a way of making the world's predictions of what it cannot do look rather ridiculous. David wastes no words in answering the taunt. He doesn't stand there and say, well, you're just a bunch of deceived liars. Yeah. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I can tell you the truth will always overtake the lie. You can sit there and you can say it'll never happen, pal. I can tell you it will happen. Why? Because I know what God has promised this preacher. I know it. I can assure you. It's in times of great difficulty where you really come to know if you believe it or not. I found a lot of people, they really didn't believe what God said. They only believed it because everything in life was matching up to go along with it. But I can assure you, on the darkest day and night, do you still believe that God said He would save your family? And God said it healed your body. Well, Pastor Robin, I'm in a lot of pain. Well, throw them hands up to God and say, Lord, I still believe it in the darkest of my night.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we find that the way to this eternal victory was through the way of the gutter. I want you to hear me tonight. Scripture says, and David said on that day, whosoever, somebody shout, whosoever.
Whosoever.
Sounds a lot like whosoever believeth. Whosoever. It's a whosoever gospel. It's a whosoever tonight to all of us. Amen. Whosoever. I realize everybody don't want a whosoever. But if you want a whosoever, you can whosoever. Come on, somebody. Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. I can assure you, Jesus, He comes against Nicolaitans. The blind, the lame. This word gutter means a pipe, a spout, a conduit to be hollow or a culvert. What this gutter was is debated by many different theologians. Some say water went through it. And some say waste from the city went through it. Whatever it was actually used for, we can deduce that it was more than likely filled with mess, with junk, with grime, with jaggedness, with slopes, and with dampness. You see, David fully understood that sometimes the only, somebody shout only, only way to victory is to go up through the gutter. I want you to know tonight, and I want us to be very clear. I wish that gates swung open all the time in this great walk with God. I pray that the mayor of your city gives you the key to the gate. Come on, somebody. I pray that this, you know, hey, roll out the red carpet like this one to you. Maybe the Lord's doing it for you tonight. I don't know. But I will tell you this. I know in this great walk with God that the victory is secured for the through the gutter. Well, preacher, I'm not much interested in going up through the gutter. I want to go through the gate. I want everybody to celebrate me and say, oh, come on in, preacher. Come on in, Limerick City Church. Come on in, School of Christ. I can assure you, that's not always the case. It's good when it happens. But more times than not, it is through the gutter, amen. But here tonight, I want to present to you some of the gutters that I myself have found in this walk with God. Amen. I know there is there's a lot of goats. You've come here tonight and the devil has told you it's just not worth it. But I want you to know it is worth it. Your family salvation, it is worth it. Revival, it is worth it. Hallelujah. I said, all you endure for God, it is worth it. And I'm going to have Sister Melissa pull out a few of these here tonight. I'm going to look at these. I don't have a gutter. And I'm going to have her hand these to me. One at a time. I think that's one. The first one is humility. Hallelujah. I want you to know in this great victory of God, you will experience humility. Amen. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ. When He went to Jerusalem, I believe with all of my heart, the Via Della Rosa was the greatest of gutters you'll read about in this Bible. Hallelujah. I said the Lord didn't make it to the cross. He didn't make that city the city of the everlasting God until He went through the gutter of humility. Amen. He was humble. Hallelujah. And in this walk with God, you will be humble. But let me tell you something good. If you humble yourself, God will raise you up. Hallelujah. Oh my God. You may not be interested in humility. You may not be interested. I don't watch via video. But here tonight, if you're going to secure this city, you will go through the gutter of humility. Amen. The next one, the gutter of religion. I can assure you tonight, you'll have to go through the gutter of religion. I face a lot of religious people. I said, I face a lot of religious people in this walk with God. I've had to go through a lot of religious rigmaroles in this walk with God. There's been a lot of things, Pastor Will. A lot of religion has tried to hinder me. Some people say to me, you're not religious enough. Others say you're too religious. Come on, somebody. I'm so thankful that Jesus is the equal weight. Amen. He's the balance of the Old Testament. He, come on, somebody. He's the Ephah, but He's the perfect weight of it all. Hallelujah. I want you to know you will face religion. Religion will come against you. It'll always try to pull you in like the Galatians. But I know on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I'm here tonight. Not because I've just got, you know, everything, but I know the one that holds you all. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here tonight, in this great gutter, you'll go through the gutter of discouragement.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I said, you've got to go through the gutter of discouragement. I tell you, there's nothing like feeling like you're almost there only to slip back down the water. Spout of discouragement. Come on. I've got pretty close in this great walk with God. I really felt like things about to break loose. Maybe I'm the only one coming to this convention like this, Sister Mary. Come on, somebody. There's been a lot of times in this great discouragement gutter. I've scaled the thing. I thought, man, I'm about to get it. It's about to spring forth. It's about to come. Come on, somebody. All I found myself going right back down that gutter. And discouragement is going to hold at me. But I've come to learn all things are in the Father's hands. Even Jesus don't know the time He's coming back. But it's all in the Father. Amen. If Jesus, come on, somebody. If He, that's in the Father's hands. I can trust the Father as well. That in His time, it'll break forth. As the noonday shine, I don't have to be discouraged. I can be encouraged in the fact that God holds the seasons in the palm of His hand. Yes. Hallelujah. I said discouragement. You see, you always know what makes a man in a church. And what they were believing for when they thought they about got it. And it slips through their fingers. That's when discouragement comes in. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
That's when people lose their self. They say, oh my God, we got all this way to fall back down.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, I used to climb rocks or whatever. You know, sometimes they'd be slippery and you'd get all the way to, and you just, come on, somebody. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe we got that in Arkansas alone, but I believe all across Europe.
Yes.
I said, we're all going to face that demon of discouragement. That gutter. Come on, you don't have, you can make it.
Yeah.
You can make it. I want to set the tone. This first night of convention was saying you can make it up the gutters. That's when we see rejection. The Bible says He was despised and rejected of men. of men. Man will always reject you. Religious man, fallen man. It always rejects Christ. You can't come on, somebody. We're trying to be accepted by man. Hallelujah. You'll never be accepted by that. You will be despised and rejected of men. That's in your Bible. Hallelujah. That's the gutter we all must go up, is rejection, Pastor Keith. They will reject us. Hallelujah. If they did it to him, they'll do it to us. And I can assure you, when you are rejected, when you go through that, just keep on climbing. There is an ascendancy. There's an end to the gutter. There's an end to the situation. Just keep moving forward and you will see God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord.
Second one. It's probably the fifth or so, actually. It's bitterness. I tell you, bitterness can really get you. Did you hear me? You can become bitter at people. The devil wants to get you in bitterness. Bitter at God. Bitter at anything that you can be bitter about. Come on, somebody. I've met a lot of people that fall out through bitterness. Something didn't go the way they thought it should go. Maybe in the church, or maybe they're in the ministry and things didn't go the way they thought it should go, and they become bitter at everybody. Come on, somebody. I'm thankful tonight God heals bitter waters. Come on, somebody. I said God can heal your bitterness. You might have come to this convention, and if you let the Holy Ghost really search you, you'd find there may be some bitterness there, and you've come to despise that, and you've come to say, I'm just not moving forward to the victory in that. But God wants you to know in this convention, you can get through that.
Yes.
You can go home and not be bitter at people.
Jesus.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Sickness. There's a lot of people. Sickness can hit anybody.
Yes.
It can hit the most faithful people to church. Most full of God people you ever met. I've met some of the most precious people in my life. It's going through the gutters of sickness. Cancer. Had a lady. Sister Jolene. One of the most finest, wonderful women I've ever met. Sister Jolene. Brother Paul. Devour great people of God. She's going through cancer. I can tell you, that's a tough thing to go through. But every time I see her, she comes to church, I go visit her. There's a smile on her face Sunday morning. She is at church. And she heard the report of another lady that was touched miraculously of God. And she come to me, Pastor Robin, maybe today's my day. I heard that report. I believe God can do it for me. Hallelujah. I want you to know tonight, you may be going through sickness. You may be watching this and you're going through sickness. And the devil's saying, just slip back down the gutter. You can never see the victory of God. But you can see the victory of God. You can walk with God. You can be healed of God. You can be a testimony of God. Giving praise tonight. Hallelujah. I tell you, all of us can go through the gutter of family. I can tell you some of the greatest hindrances, Jesus, on the way through his gutter of the cross. I can assure you, family can attack you more than anything else in this gutter. Come on, somebody. I've got people that fill pots full of Assembly of God chairs. They come out of a lot of different things, live for different denominations. There's people that drive for miles, amen. I believe people can drive for miles to get to Limerick City Church as much as I believe it can go to your church. Pastor Willie can drive all over Spain to get fair. Come on, somebody. I said they can't. There's people at Pottsville. They drive a long way. The family church that most of their family goes to says, why don't you save gas and go to this one? I guess over here he may even say, why don't you save these? So I don't know. But I do know this. You may have a lot of opposition in your family, but you can make it through it.
Yes.
I said you can make it through it.
Yeah.
Here tonight, persecution. All of us go through gutters of persecution. Sometimes it's out of places you never thought it would come. Come on, somebody. But nonetheless, here it is. Trying to keep you out of Jerusalem. Come on, it's trying to keep you out of Jerusalem. Persecution on your job. Persecution in homes. Persecution in schools. Persecution by religious folk. I mean, it's all around us. There's persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, you'll have to go through that gutter as well. Isn't that right? I said, you'll have to go through that gutter as well. Resistance. How many of you ever faced resistance in your walk with God? Matter of fact, you're going to be resisted every day of your life.
Yes.
The natural flow of spiritual life is to face resistance. Gravity always tries to pull you back down. Jerusalem was a place of ascendancy. They had to go up the gutter. I wish I could tell you it's a slip and slide down. Come on, somebody. You can just slide on into heaven. Slide on into the will of God. Slide on into the purpose of God. But you've got to climb up this thing. I said it's an ascending thing. It's an ascending life. That's why Abraham said, we're going to go up yonder. We're going to go up and offer the sacrifice. This is an ascending life. And I face it on all, in almost every front, people almost trying to convey out of pulpits, this is a slip and slide event. You just slide right on into church. You just slide right on into the kingdom.
No.
Maybe you don't face it in Europe like we do in America. But I can tell you, it's an uphill climb.
Yes.
It's an ascending life. Can you say amen?
Jesus.
And here tonight, betrayal. Jesus was betrayed in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
You say, well, Pastor, I've never been betrayed. Well, keep on going. Come on, somebody. I said, keep on going. There's a Judas in every church and every crowd. Somebody there to betray you, to get you to slip on down the gutter. Come on, somebody. We must understand these things. We understand that when Christ traversed the Via Della Rosa, He was going up the gutter in Jerusalem. Christ had His cross on His back, His blood dripping down His face, the crown of thorns piercing against His head, and His body torn apart, but He was still going through His gutter. Ask you tonight, what must you endure to go through yours? You see, He understood that to crown Jerusalem in victory, He had to go by way of the gutter. If there was ever going to be a new Jerusalem, a heavenly Jerusalem, an eternal Jerusalem, He had to go through the gutter to secure it. And if you're going to have revival in Limerick, Ireland, or wherever you live, you're going to have to go through the gutter to get it there as well. Come on, somebody. As believers, we must do the same. We must be willing to go through the gutters to victory. I wish every victory only required us to march through the gate, climb over the wall, or sneak in the back door. However, those are a rarity. Most of the time, victory only comes by way of the gutter. We have to move forward through faith, through filth rather, through slime, through algae, and through waste. I'm convinced that if revival is going to come to my life, our families, this area, Europe, America, wherever you may live, then we must be willing to go through the gutter. Amen. I said all of us in this room, those a part of this convention, those that have been through the school of Christ, wherever you live, wherever you go, if you're going to see the victory, there is a gutter mark for your life. You're going to have to move forward through all of hell's resistance. But I want you to know, you can make it. You can see revival in Germany. You can see revival in Ireland. You can see revival in Sweden. You can see revival in Romania. We can see revival in America, because we're not afraid of the gutter giving praise tonight. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, none of that interests me. Well, don't be surprised when you never secure the greatest victory.
Yes.
I can say the devil's not afraid of you taking Bethesda, Capernaum.
Yes.
But when it comes to Jerusalem, friend, that's the fight of your life. Did you hear me? I said it's the fight of your life. The souls of men. The souls of men. If we've come to believe, the enemy's just going to lay down and say, just come on in. You can just have it. Come on, somebody. But no, you've got to be willing to go through the gutter. You've got to be willing to march through hell itself to secure this great victory of God. For some, that is just too much to ask. They want a Christian life. They want a home church. They want a ministry. They want a pastor that dismisses the gutter life and says everything's just going to be smooth sailing. However, there are others who are willing to go through whatever gutter they must to see the glory of Christ. Hallelujah, folks. I can assure you, Jesus left the portals of glory to come down through the gutter of a woman. Oh, you're not listening. I said He went through all of it. Despised, rejected. Why? Because He understood the church at Jerusalem was at the end of it all. The crowning of everything was at New Jerusalem. And the Bible tells you and I to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He went through the gutter, I love this. The Bible actually actually lets us know that it was Joab that was the one that secured it, Pastor Keith. You know what his name means? Jehovah is my Father. Oh my God. Let me tell you tonight, it was the Son of God and his Father sent him, my God, sent him to the gutter of humanity to secure your soul, and God will do it again as Christ in you is the hope of glory. My God. My God. I love what it says. You read it in your Bible. Go back to Chronicles. I didn't write it down for you in this portion. Amen. But it says he went first and the others went behind. Yeah. What are you saying? I said Jesus went first. Yeah. Sister Kim. I said Jesus went first. He went through the gutter, Pastor. He went through the gutter. He said, hold back, folks. Hold back. Let me do this. He's the chiefest among us. Come on, somebody. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the first fruit. He said, you just follow my lead here in Limerick. I went through the gutter. You saw what I went through to secure this great victory. And you just follow me. You step on every stone I step on. You know, hallelujah. I've got these boys right here. And when they're following me through dangerous spots, I say, just follow my footsteps. Oh my God. I just say, plant your feet in that place I plant my feet. And if you'll do that, you'll gain the victory. You'll make it to safety. Listen, Brother Paul, get those feet in step with Christ and you'll secure this great victory of God. Hallelujah. My God, it's enough to run around this city over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The pulpit commentary states, this is a beautiful example. This to all who have an inheritance to hold for Christ. Her nature is a holy land in which He alone is to be honored. And it is a prime duty that we take strenuous measures, call upon the cooperation of our best powers to cast out the evil elements from the center of our nature so that they may be nothing within that defileth or is an abomination or that maketh a lie. You study the Jebusite name, what that means. Actually means is that which is defiles. Oh, did you hear me?
Yeah.
I said, did you hear me? I said, in that Jerusalem, Jesus said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Come on, somebody. That which defiles in my house. But he said, it's not going to stay there. Jerusalem belongs to me. You belong to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good to know that you belong to the Lord? Hallelujah. I can assure you tonight, whoever you are in this room, as we gather this first night of the convention, I prayed, I told this pastor coming here, I felt in my heart, this is going to be refreshing waters for us. For everybody in this room, I believe it. I believe you may have come with your head hanging low. I said, you may have come with your head hanging low. But I preached a few Wednesday nights ago about the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping. And the Bible says they dug a well in the midst of the Valley of Weeping. I can tell you tonight, you can dig a well right in the midst of your tears. You can dig a well for God. And I can assure you, you can go up the gutter to receive, to gain everything God desires for you to gain. It does the gospel no good for the Jebusite to stand in that holy mount. Come on. But I can assure you, you can experience the victory of God. Well, Pastor Robin, how are we going to do it? We're going to have to go through the gutter. We're going to have to follow the Lord Jesus straight through the gutter. And we're going to have to get it. I believe in this convention, if we'll let God do what He desires to do, my friend, we're going to be standing with that flag securely planted on the top of that hill. Said, this belongs to God. I've allowed the devil to kick me around. I've allowed the blind and the lame. I've thought there's no way. The devil's even discouraged me. I've seen a lot of people stand at the bottom of that hill. Say, you know what, devil, you're right. There's no way for me to take my city. No way for me to take this thing. No way for me to be all God has called me to be. But the devil is a liar.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
I said, you can make it.
Jesus.
You've come here to this convention. There's some, they didn't come here because the devil already lied to them. Didn't make it here tonight. But I can tell you they should have paid the $50 to Ryanair. Fly over that pond to come. Come on, somebody. Best $50 you ever spent. You refreshed in God. Some of you say, I flew Aer Lingus, whatever you was on, pal. You do your thing. But I can tell you, for some of you, that was a gutter to just get here. But you're here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And you can experience God in this place. Some of you are going to have to fight through some things. Amen. Folks, I can take complacency. Sometimes the worst of gutters.
Yes, that's right.
Just complacent.
That's right.
Just is good enough. Right. Listen, David got the anointing. He said, I've got to take Jerusalem. He set his right to this. What is the day of everything but the sinner? Mm-hmm. Amen. Has sin any sinner? Most places block it off. Can't even drive in it. Come on, somebody. Yeah. What is the city sinner? Can't drive in. Come on, somebody. I can tell you, Jerusalem was right in the center. What is to have all of Israel but not Jerusalem? Come on, somebody. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm after Jerusalem.
Jesus.
I'm after that eternal Jerusalem where the Lamb is the light. And I'm willing by the grace of God to go through whatever gutter I must go through to get it. There's souls of men out there walking these streets, church. There's souls of men in your community. Sister Candace, as you come, there's souls of men all about us. There's Jebusites all about us. Come on, somebody. There's some of them just waiting for you to conquer so they can join your side. You say, why do you say that? Because you remember when David's about to build the temple, who does he buy the land from? A Jebusite.
Yeah.
Oh, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
There's some people, if you just conquer it, there's some people out there blind and lame to the gospel of God. If we here tonight, we'd get a hold of the Lord.
Jesus.
Who knows what next week they may be giving you the land to build a new church that would house all of Sweden.
Yeah. Jesus.
Sister Sharon, there's Jebusites in Germany. They say, you're not coming here. You're not going to do it here. But you're going to do it, sisters. You're going to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to be getting a testimony. Days, months, years down the road, say, Pastor Robin, I heard you. Heard the Spirit of God in the message. Oh, how God has saved. How God has delivered the souls of men. I'm after souls. Let's just stand around the bed and let's worship the Lord. Understand in this room as Jesus was going of the Via della Rosa, so if the Bible says God gave him a man to help him through the gutter. I remember Simon. If it was Simon, helped him carry the cross. That's what we're here tonight for. God's given you people in your gutter to help you make it. I tell the church it's possible all the time. Let me help you, sister. You're not in it alone. You walk with God. Your nation, you are not in it alone. Once you look around, see people. These are people like precious faith. They'll help you through the gutter. I don't know how I'm going to make it. So much against me. So much opposition. So much ridicule. Oh, you can make it.
Jesus.
One day we'll be in that great city of Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Every gutter you go through will be worth it all. Can we find a place to pray tonight? Can we just go through some gutters in this first night and say, Lord, I'm tired of complaining, saying it can't be done. But tonight I have a holy desire. Go up through every gutter in my life. And see the glory of God. Would you find a place to pray here tonight? God bless you as you come.